Hello and welcome to My Songs Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started. It's good to be back, isn't it, Alex?
It is good to be back. And we've got a guest with us, the first guest that we've ever had, ever. And introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Aidan Bradley. I'm a musician, singer-songwriter living in Brisbane.
Fantastic, beautiful. And how, I mean, I know you personally.
Yes, very personally.
Is that a thing we should say?
I mean, probably. I don't know if it's considered a conflict of interest like two episodes in.
How personally? Seems very, very personal.
Well, are musicians in Brisbane. You know, you bump elbows with a couple of musicians.
Oh, I see.
As it is. Played a couple gigs with the boy. The man can play a mean guitar.
Thank you, Alex.
Like the pinball wizard, except about guitars.
Except about guitar. Are you saying he's deaf, dumb, and blind? Is that your...
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Aidan. We're going to roast you for an hour.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Just I mean, you've fallen into our trap.
Yeah. It's just like dinner with my family.
So how did you two meet?
Ooh,
we met at one of Kel's shows. We met at a Miscreants.
Oh, wow, we did.
Yeah, we did. We met at the Backyard Theatre.
We totally did.
We met at that, and I don't know if I recognize your face. I think I overheard you talking about music to someone, and I'm like, yeah. I've heard Alex Smith before.
We were on milk crates by some trees.
We were.
And the person I was talking to...
Drinking.
...was shit-talking about... After the party, was shit-talking about another person who was at the party. And I was like, I don't know, man. He was just trying to plug his gig, and I thought that she was shit-talking you.
Oh.
And then later we were like, oh, yeah, no, he's great. And that's a little bit of an anecdote.
So we're... They were or they were not shit talking?
They were not shit talking
okay.
you.
Oh, good.
I thought she was.
Okay. No. I was going to say, because I think I spoke to about four people that night, because I just rocked up and then I had to find Kel, and Kel went backstage and it was very traumatic for me because I knew no one.
And one of those four people was Alex Smith.
Yes. Yeah, that was me.
What a quirky
dick. And I fought for you. I was like, I think he was just trying to plug his gig. I think you're being needlessly mean right now.
I mean, that's probably still a shitty thing to do at like someone else's theatre thing.
Oh, I mean, he might have deserved it. Oh, you mean the plug in your gig?
Yeah, plug in the gig. Yeah, plug in the gig is what I meant there.
Nah, I always got to be on. Speaking of which, you have provided us with a wonderful song today, which you believe sucks. Do you want to tell us about that?
So this is a song that I wrote and produced back with one of my old bands called Trapped Admirals. I think in 2013.
Okay.
Trapped Admirals was like a two-piece, like fuzzed up rock band that formed from my first band collapsing, which was called Lazy Tangerine.
good.
Yeah, that actually... That we got a really good... The way we thought of that name was the singer's brother came home, like, really stoned. And he was like, hey, you guys want some band names? And he was just... he was just write noun, adjective, and then just drew lines. And one of them was, like, Lazy Tangerine. We also had, like, Wizard of Lung.
Wizard of Lung,
yeah, that
is
was
very
a,
good.
That was a good one, I thought. I wanted Concrete Elephant. That was the one that I wanted.
That's pretty good.
We didn't get that though. We got Lazy Tangerine. So Lazy Trapped Admirals was me, and then the drummer from Lazy Tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had zero singing experience beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I had zero vocal coaching. So that's gonna be bad. That's just gonna be really bad. Musically, I don't think it was awful, but like we did make it with three microphones and like a fucking $400 Tascam interface. Which didn't have the most headroom in the world. And I also, like, at that stage, I was, like, preset mixing.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, this preset says guitar. That'll sound good.
Upon which door were you recording this? Which audio platform?
Oh, I was using Reaper. I've used Reaper pretty exclusively since I bought, like, a legit... This fucking shits me off to this day. I bought like a legit Cubase license.
Okay.
And everything was great for about 18 months. Then it deleted all of my presets and all of my data got corrupted.
Oh, geez.
So yikes. I was just like, okay, fuck this. And then I spent $60 on Reaper and I've used Reaper ever since.
Mm. So what is Reaper? What does it do?
It's like a DAW, so a digital audio workstation.
Okay.
It's like how you edit and like mix and create music. So... You get your microphones, you get your audio interface. Generally, if it's like a home studio, those are the two that you use. The microphone sends the signal to the audio interface. The audio interface converts it to digital, And then it goes into the computer, which can then be mixed, edited, EQ'd, compressed.
Right, yeah, yeah. Very nice. And so why, how long have you been making music for overall?
I've been in and out of bands since I was about 16.
And how old are you now, Aiden?
I'm 22.
Oh,
Alex.
You never, it's not polite to,
I mean, if it's 20, just like, since I was 16 and I'm 17 now. So
yeah, yeah, it's been a year. It's been a hard journey.
I mean, you've, like, you do have me there. That's a good point. Yeah, I've been in and out of band since I was like 16. And Lazy Tangerine started playing out when we were in year 11. And we'd go play these gigs every couple times a month at this really shitty dive bar in West End that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, was it? I'm not going to say a name. You should. I did play there. And I was like, thank you for this opportunity.
What was so shitty about it? What?
Okay, well, we got paid 30 bucks a night for 40 minutes of music.
Right.
There was this, oh my God, there was this really, I Googled it and there was this really weird Google review where someone was like, yeah, the owner took a swing at my partner.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. And like, I remember meeting that dude and like, yeah, no, he totally looks like someone who would kick on in a moment's notice.
Wow.
Now, are we running the risk of shit talking a probably well-known music establishment on the second episode of a music podcast?
I mean, well-known? Yeah.
Is it still around?
It's absolutely not still around.
Well, then My Song Suck does not share the opinions of Aiden Bradley. He speaks of his own opinion.
Just throw me under the fucking bus. but like, I have really good memories of doing it. I remember like we all had to bring our parents who like, unless we were on stage, had to be with us at all times because it was like a bar.
Right.
And there was a, like, it was good experience like playing live in a band and getting paid. But yeah, we did that for about 2 years and then we made an EP, which I recorded poorly and never got released or anything like that. There was a few demos floating around, but I think they're gone now. And that was like sort of my first experience like writing songs and doing stuff like that because between the singer and I, we wrote everything. So that fell apart and then Trapped Admirals came out of that and I wrote everything for Trapped Admirals. And that started gigging really heavily for about 2 years. And then we put out an EP, which did pretty okay. And then that sort of fell apart just because our schedules just conflicted too much. And, you know, we did all this stuff and we just sort of weren't, we didn't really know where to go from the first EP being done. And to be honest, I got a little bit bored with the kind of music that we were making. Then for a while, I sort of drifted in and out of projects. I kind of did a lot of work as like a fill-in, playing guitar and bass and stuff in like other bands. And all the time while doing that, I was like writing my own stuff. And then I started recording it. And then a year later, here we are.
So this song is from the Trapped Admiral days.
Yeah, this song is from the Trapped Admiral's record Blue Shift. And it's the title track. So it's also called Blue Shift. Hmm.
So you were playing in bands since you were 16. But how long were you writing songs?
I probably started writing my first songs when I was 13, 14.
Okay.
They weren't.
So what kind of, how old would you have been when you wrote this one?
Blue Shift was probably written when I was 17.
Okay.
17 or 18.
So you've been in it for a while?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's kind of, like, no one's first song is good.
I mean, this isn't your first song. You have like, no defense, Aiden.
Well, I've just shot myself in the foot.
No, I'm kidding.
Like, no one's first song is good. You kind of have to, I feel that that's a good thing. That's why I encourage people. For some reason, people ask me occasionally, like, how to write songs and stuff like that.
Mm.
And particularly, like, a few people I know who have songwriters who do it for them and they just perform them. Mm. And it's like, how do you do it? And it's always, like, you just got to write shit.
Yeah.
You got to, like for the five songs on the Boat Ramps EP, which is coming out when this goes up, I think I did pre-production for, like, 12 or 13.
Yeah,
and then I stuck with the five that I wanted to go. You just kind of got to write shit for a while.
In the early days when you were, what did you say, 13 or 14 when you started writing?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff would you write about?
It was probably like really overly edgy shit.
Oh, yeah,
It was
yeah.
probably like that. It was probably like, yeah, it probably would have just been like really over the top, unnecessarily edgy garbage.
Stuff that you didn't like necessarily know about as like a 13
stuff that
or
I would have had zero experience with.
And
you've
like just gotten it from TV or whatever and like other songs.
Yeah, or like, oh, there's someone sings about this. I should sing about that too.
Yeah,
I know what heartbreak feels like.
Yeah, I know. Gets to first real heartbreak. This is nothing like I expected. Excuse me. Yeah, it would have just been really overly edgy, stupid And then Lazy Tangerine was mostly silly.
Really?
It was because it was like a funk metal band.
Right.
Mostly silly stuff. And then the singer and I both, toward the end of high school, we got like, because we both wanted to be musicians. Mm. We were both like really disillusioned. Like, let's just write a bunch of songs about how going into the real world sucks. And that was like the last three songs that we wrote together were like, one of the lines was, if these are the best days of my life, I hope it's not getting much worse.
Damn.
And that was like, that was good. I thought that was good.
I think it's fitting that you guys like stopped playing after that.
Yeah. He went to JMI. He studied jazz guitar for a year at JMI.
Right. Okay.
And yeah, he's doing pretty well now. He was in Rise Over Run.
Ooh, that rings a bell.
Yeah, they were like a sort of prog math rock sort of thing. Because he was a complete fucking monster on guitar. Mm-hmm. He knew his theory like left, right, and center. So he was like, I'm just going to go write really complex solos in this band.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, that was him. And then the other two, I haven't spoken to in a while.
Nice. Well,
did you go into tertiary sort of music education or anything like that?
Nope.
Right.
No, I studied music in high school and I ended up on like a VHA 6, I think. Just because no one else in the class could write. That being said, I also never at any stage remember being taught composition in high school. So I think that's kind of fair enough.
Sure.
I think it was definitely one of those things that like, if you have an interest in doing it, you'll get around.
Yeah.
If you have an interest in doing it, you'll teach yourself, you know? Yeah. Or if you how I learned production was just trial and error. It was just what sounds good, what doesn't, how can I improve this? Stuff like that.
Who were your influences as a child?
As a child.
As a young musician.
So a lot of it was like listening to stuff that my dad listened to. So there's like my dad was really into like Creedence.
Okay.
Oh,
and like
nice.
The Eagles and like a lot of that American stuff.
Yeah.
But then it was like on the other side of thing, he's Irish. So naturally he listens to Van Morrison at least once a day. He's from the same town as Van Morrison was.
Oh,
no way.
Which is pretty cool. They're both from Ulster. So that's kind of cool.
That's wild.
And yeah, it was stuff like that. And then I went to high school and I made friends and then I started listening to like sort of a bit more out there stuff. Like I listened to a lot of like 70s, 80s funk stuff. Like I listened to like Parliament and Funkadelic a lot in high school. Yeah, it was a interesting thing whenever I got past Norx Cable. And I always listened to like a lot of Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. I don't really ever credit those kind of bands as like my favorite bands or whatever because I don't really feel that I need to.
Mm.
Just because it's like they're exemplars.
Right, you know,
like,
exactly.
Like Led Zeppelin like kind of made a genre stuff like that. In like modern times though, like I really like Bon Iver and I really like Julian Baker and Frightened Rabbit and stuff like that.
About them? What's kind of in their style that you enjoy?
I guess the interesting thing about Frightened Rabbit is always like nothing that I've listened to sounds like them.
Mm.
Nothing sounds anything like Frightened Rabbit, to my knowledge. Julian Baker as a lyricist is incredible. And like she coined this phrase when she was on a tour that's just sad songs make me feel better. Mm. And then that was like while touring for a record that is exclusively sad music. But it's like sad in like a really personal way. Like if you listen to Something or like Go Home or whatever, it's like, yeah, this is weirdly close to how I feel. And
right.
I hate that, but I also really love that. She's insane. She did a NPR Tiny Desk concert and I bought her record off the back of that and I listened to it a lot. I still do. And then she just brought out a second record, which is also really good. When it comes to listening to music, I find inspiration in like a lot of places. Like I listen to a fair bit of like electronica and stuff like that. Even like modern synth pop. Like I listen to like Maiden Heights and Pusher and stuff like that I really enjoy.
Hmm.
Just because it's even though like I don't really have much of a desire to make electronic music, the way that it's all composition at the end of the day, and the composition's like really cool. Hmm.
So this song that you've brought to us, is there anything that you would like us to know beforehand? Because I know that if you were in an art gallery and the painter would be like, now when I was painting this at the time I was feeling this and blah blah blah. Is there any of that kind of stuff you want to share with us?
The vocals are really bad.
Yeah.
The vocals are really, yeah. I struggled a lot with singing for a while and I still do. Like I don't think I'll ever get to the point where I think I'm a good singer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no one ever thinks they're a good singer.
Mm. Oh.
Well, I mean, oh. No. Okay, yeah, look fair.
Oh. Yeah. I've met some people, Alex.
I wish I'd met some people.
So I like how the loudest laugh from that was also Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vocals will be really bad, and I haven't listened to this in years. So I mean, I could listen to it and think that it totally holds up, but like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's
dive in.
Let's run the gauntlet.
Spin it, Zane. I'm impressed because this is a podcast. That was Blue Shift by Aiden Bradley. First things first, that song didn't suck. What the fuck? We're trying to do a format here. You come into our house and you bring us a song that doesn't suck? We look like dinguses. What are we supposed to do with this? Why do you feel like it sucked?
I mean, it was all right in the bits that I wasn't singing.
Okay.
Sure. So that was like... It didn't really progress much, did it?
No, it kind of hit its stride and stayed there. But it was a cool, funky groove. I really enjoyed the guitar.
The guitar was fucking tasty. Really cool.
Thank you.
How much of this was your writing? Because you said it was a band. Is this like collaborative effort? Or were you like, I will write the thing, you play the thing?
I wrote the thing. He played the thing.
The thing is good. You wrote a good thing.
Yeah. He. I left the. I left like drumming up to him, but like, I like told him the beats that I wanted and stuff. Yeah, that was interesting. That was, I guess I can pick a lot of holes in like the production aspect of it. I don't think it's very good personally.
Okay.
I mean, at the time I was thrilled with it, but, it was a genre of music that we wrote as like a live thing.
Mm.
Like we wrote, I wrote most of the stuff as like a live act.
For when you're performing in the shitty bars.
Yeah, for when we're performing in shitty bars.
Yeah.
That being said, Trapped Admiral's played in a lot of not shitty bars. So Trapped Admiral's, yeah, we did all right for a little bit. Yeah, it was like, I don't know. I hate my voice.
I guess the other thing is maybe what I'm hearing and thinking is intentional isn't intentional. Because I think it all has a very definite, like, lo-fi kind of sound.
Yeah.
And maybe you weren't going for that. I noticed that the voices were quite distorted.
Yeah, that was mostly to hide the fact that I can't sing. or couldn't sing. I'm probably all right at it now. But, I really, like, because I had no vocal training or vocal experience back then. It was like, we need a band and we need to have vocals and stuff. I'm like, I guess I'll do it. And then that was sort of just what we went with. Which, you know... Which in hindsight was a bad decision. We probably should have got a vocalist. Hmm. We had a lot of ideas about getting a female vocalist just to have that sort of dynamic and just to be like, here's some like really riff heavy rock music, and then have like a vocal that you kind of would expect a little bit less.
Hmm.
Have like a vocal style that you sort of wouldn't really expect to see. Kind of like
Ellie Jane and the Forces of Destiny.
Yeah, all right. We'll go with that. Yeah. Yeah, good old Ellie. She always puts on a good show.
She's great.
Yeah, she is.
We should get her in here sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Just ring her up.
Yeah.
Has she made anything that sucks, though?
Oh, that's a good point,
that's the
actually.
Thing.
I just like, can you go home and make something that sucks? And just like, just so you made us. It from a long time ago?
Makes like a phone demo and it still doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Ellie, this is great. God damn it. Are there any musicians who suck to come on our podcast? We're not saying that you suck, by the way. Just that you have made music in the past when you were very young, as we all have.
I haven't, but as we all have.
I mean, that's the most sucky thing. You haven't even made music that sucks.
That's right. I haven't even tried.
I feel like everyone at some stage has like the pipe dream of wanting to be a musician.
Yeah.
I think everyone thinks about it like a little bit at some stage, like, oh, that'd be cool. And then I think some of us just act on it more to a degree.
True. I notice a lot of themes about having to go to work and not being a fan of that in the song. Is that a strong theme? It is called Blue Shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, which actually is a Half-Life reference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a Half-Life expansion called Blue Shift. Good. And a Blue Shift is actually something like a term in theoretical physics or something like that. That has to do with like multi-dimension theory or something.
It's a Half-Life reference.
It's a Half-Life reference. Yeah, it's a Half-Life reference. I wrote it at a time when my girlfriend at the time used to get really annoyed because I used to work a lot. And that was like, a lot of it was like, I'd have to go to work at like 5 a.m, which is like wake up before the sun. And then in winter, if I got home like after 5, it'll be down before my day is done.
Yeah.
I guess that's that line. That's probably the best that we can interpret out of that.
So was it completely autobiographical, like the entire song?
Yeah, most of my songs are.
Yeah.
I never really wrote with like a lot of metaphor. A lot of it is pretty much stuff that happened to me.
Cool.
Even like the songs that I write now are all things that have occurred to me.
Was it that you never were like, I'm going to do a metaphor? Were you like, I choose not to. I will bear my all. This is me. This is my life. Why do you avoid metaphors?
Nothing like that. I would never even have said it was intentional. It was just...
You just don't.
I found it the best way to express myself, and I found it the most relatable. And I guess I hope that some other people would too.
Sure. Well, I definitely related. I've been doing full-time work, and my partner was saying I work too much, so yeah. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Fan right over here.
Look at that.
Do you relate, James?
I do not.
Hey, see?
So there you go. You but even then, I enjoyed the song,
well,
you know?
Thank you.
So there you go.
I do think that
it
song
appeals to
is too good
to, oh, to be okay.
Too
on
good
this podcast.
For our show, yeah. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, my writing style back then wasn't something that I like, because it was like, let's just play riffs. Let's just play riffs all day long, and there was no subtlety to it, and it was very much like, I'm a teenager, I want to make rock music.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Which, like, even now, like, I have a hard time classifying the music that I make now, because it's, like, kind of too heavy to be, like, singer-songwriter-y, but not heavy enough to be rock.
Yeah.
And not really out there enough to be, like, alternative.
Oh, you're speaking my language, buddy.
Yeah, it's... So it's, like, well, that being said, hey, Lie to Me is rock. Lie to Me is straight up rock.
I guess.
Sorry,
tell me a lie.
Yeah, tell me a lie. Yeah. Sorry.
That happens a lot.
The pitfall that all of us fall into from time to time is calling tell me a lie, lie to me.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure
the outro.
I'm pretty sure most people who like, most people, implying that there's a lot of them, I'm pretty sure most people who look up my music because they remember Siege from like gigs and stuff, I'm pretty sure they just look up I Am Under Siege.
But yeah, do you find that you're easily searchable as an artist? Because I know that like, getting that SEO and getting that ability to be well known. If you search Aiden Bradley, are you Aiden Bradley?
If you look up Aiden Bradley on the first page of Google Images, I'm like fucking 60% of them.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. That being said, a lot of people spell my name wrong.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people spell it A-I-D-A-N.
I've been saying your name wrong for a long time.
In what way?
So you know how Bradley is a name?
Sure.
A common name?
Yeah.
I've been saying Bradley.
That's not a name.
That's not a name.
I have a cousin Brady called Bradley.
Brady is a name.
It's because it's Aiden.
Bradley's not a name.
No, I'm Aiden Bradley.
Aiden Bradley.
Fortunately, I've never said it to anyone, but whenever I've like talked about you in a video, I've always been like, Aiden Bradley.
How many videos do you talk about me in?
Oh, more than you'd think.
Never released. Oh, boy. Never released to the public. Just.
I think I've done it twice in a YouTube video because I remember I had the feeling. The whole take was me being like, that's the second fucking time.
So, how do you go on YouTube, by the way?
As in like...
You search, and you get your big old URL bar, and you go youtube.com. That's how you go on YouTube.
Yeah, fucking funny.
What question are you putting to me?
How does your stuff go on YouTube?
Fucking abysmally. Oh, I have no concept of promoting myself. I just put it up. And then it just slowly grows mold.
That's I struggle with that because like a lot of what I endeavor to do is just try to be really genuine and like just to seem like I'm a real person. Mm. And a lot of it's like when you're at a gig and you've told people to like you on Facebook for the fifth time that night, it's such a horrible, shitty thing to be doing. Mm. It's not even horrible or shitty. It just feels garbage because like, hey, I'm playing for you and I you paid to get in and I still want you to do something for me. And like pushing that sort of stuff is,
it's hard because people forget and like they're there and they're like, I'm having a great time. I love this guy. Anyway, bye.
Yeah.
And they're all like, I would buy everything he had and I'd support him and I want to support him. And then you forget.
I was walking around after that gig that we did at New Globe. I was like walking around and people were like showing me their phones where they'd liked me. I'm like, oh my God, this audience is amazing. I've gained a substantial jump on social media. Because, like, social media is where it's at these days for musicians. Especially, I think, people like us struggle as, like, singer-songwriters on social media because a band starts a Facebook page. They've got five people in the band. They invite all of their friends. There's 400 likes just there. Yeah. Now, I've been playing and releasing music under my own name for a year, and I've just got 400.
Yeah. See, I've been doing it for 5, and oh no, 6, and I have almost got 500, and I've been teetering that line for like 4 months now. And
you've had some really good gigs
before.
In this past 6 months, though, haven't you?
I have.
You're on the up and up,
all because of Paul from New Globe Theater. I'm gonna bring it to that place. Fucking New Globe Theater is closing. That's upsetting.
Yeah, that's very upsetting.
Shame.
If this comes out when they're still open, you should definitely go and buy some drinks.
It should do though, because I'm pretty sure they close in April.
Yeah.
We've also got 1 month left to save the New Globe, guys.
It's not being saved.
Get the band back together.
We put on one last show.
I mean, it worked for the Chanel, right? Did that ever happen? Or did I just dream that? I don't think that happened.
Is the Chanel still a thing?
Yeah, they're still a thing.
Yeah, no, it's still a thing.
Zane's nodding. Zane's nodding.
So there we go.
Yeah,
Chanel confirmed.
Good. What are we talking about?
Well, I mean,
how hard it is to... Get a following as a
singer-songwriter. I also feel that like a lot of venues don't want to give gigs to singer-songwriters because I think the impression that they don't have a band, they can't bring people.
Yeah.
Because again, if you have a 4-piece, 5-piece band and they all bring 3 friends, well, there's half your audience.
Yeah.
You know, you're a singer-songwriter. You can bring whenever I if I message a band, it's like, hey, I saw your stuff on Spotify. I really like it. We should play together sometime. Mm-hmm. How many tickets can you sell? Is always the first question.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, as a singer-songwriter, I can maybe sell like 10 or 15. Not good enough. Goodbye. Yeah.
Unless you got like a sweet special occasion and then you're like, I'll probably bump that up to 30 or 50, buddy.
Yeah, and then even then they'll probably be like, not good enough. Yeah. And it's just like this really weird stigma. And if you look for artist management for singer-songwriters, they're like, well, you can play covers.
Yeah,
you can go do covers gigs in cafes and bars. And yeah. like, I've never played a cover gig. I don't want to play cover gigs.
That's how I started.
Really?
Yeah, I used to play 3-hour gigs at a popular burger establishment.
Good money.
Well, it was the first paid gig I ever had. And I remember they sat me down. They're like, so we'll pay you $90 for the 3 hours. And I was like, that's $30 an hour. I won't say which
wow,
burger establishment.
Strong opinions coming yeah, to the table.
Can we maybe cut that out?
No. You leave that in.
Confirmed. There's your headline, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the name of this episode.
Corey O'Malley hates
Can we maybe cut that one out, please?
That's we could probably.
I'm leaving this as a note to just blank that out.
Okay, I have.
That's really funny.
This is the first interview or anything that I've been allowed to swear on.
Oh, we've let him off the leash. So like, and yeah. he's going wild.
Here
I swear
we go.
Every second fucking word.
We so, can't like, stop him. I get to the interview and it's like, oh, I'm assuming I can't swear. Nope, this is a family establishment.
Of course,
oh, balls.
I write. Music, very good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there we go. All right, we're 3 for 3 of three words.
I was on a radio show. I was talking about one of my favorite gigs that I've been to, which was a Smith Street Band gig. And there's a lyric in their track Sigourney Weaver where it's like the line is "Don't you ever fucking touch me." And I got like halfway through the F word, and I was like, "Oh, I can't finish." And I was like, "I can't finish that story. Sorry, that was a swear word in it." Sorry.
Dang.
While if we are still talking about burger establishments, I will say that I started playing cover gigs for like, it felt like 3 years. It was probably like a year because I fucking released a live album at the Zoo in like my first year.
I've not heard that.
Yeah. In that you can pay to buy the recording of your performance.
Cool. Do you have to mix it?
You do, but my good friend Benedict Braxton Smith did it for me. And we bumped the applause. We double-tracked
nice,
the applause.
Just
nice.
Like, can't hear any audio, can't hear any of you. It's just all applause.
Yep.
We got standing ovation. We should clarify for any of our non-like Brisbane listeners that the Zoo is not a literal zoo.
No, it's a place you play music. And it's quite a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty up there as far as Brisbane goes.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'd say as like a local performer, it's the best you can get.
Yeah, Zoo or Triffid.
Yeah, so I've never played at the Triffid because I'm too
I've never
a
played it
fish.
Either because no one likes me.
Yeah.
I prefer Yoronga Zoo.
Get out. Welcome to James's fucking I forgot my joke.
Oh, good joke.
Welcome to James's contributions to this podcast sucks.
Hey, nice.
I can't believe I fucked my sweet joke.
You had a great joke planned. You told me about your joke.
I told him about
sick
it.
Plan
like, this is going to be great.
A joke that
it's
you had.
The coldest burn.
Before we started, and then.
I fucking froze up.
You did.
Oh,
welcome to the real world.
I fucked it so bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're talking about. What we haven't spoken about for a while?
Hold on, you go.
The song.
All right.
I was going to mention because Alex just messed up his joke so bad.
God damn it.
Have you ever, like, performing live, you're a live performer, have you ever messed up or live on stage?
What? Sorry, carry on.
Back in Trapped Admirals, I'd break a string every show.
Break Damn. A string?
Yeah, I'd break a string
rocking
every show.
Too hard.
And yeah, they were riffs, man. Like, they were, like, proper, like, rock riffs.
Nice.
These days, I play with a looper and, like, a bunch of effects and stuff. And so far, I've not had any major disasters with that because it's all
sure.
it's like a pattern remembering game. It's like remember yeah. when to trigger the loop, remember when to like engage overdubbing so you can record more stuff.
Yeah,
remembering which effects to use when to trigger my octave to make bass sounds, when to do all that stuff. That's not gone spectacularly wrong yet. I think because I get really neurotic about it and I rehearse it to like to absolute fuck.
It shows in the good way.
Oh, thank you. And I do that because I don't feel that if I was just playing guitar and singing that I'd find me entertaining. So I like to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. When did you first start using the looper?
First solo gig.
Wow.
Yeah, first solo gig
ever.
Yeah. I've never like done a straight not loop gig.
Damn.
There's songs that I played before. Like I never used to play boat ramps with a looper. Then I went back and I thought, yeah, I can redo a couple of this stuff and make it more interesting with the looper. Siege was like the first song that I properly got the looping down for.
Nice.
That I properly got everything to sync up and that I properly got everything to sound good. And then it kind of became like the flagship track.
Mm.
Like Siege is normally how I open my shows.
It's a killer live, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a genuine thing. I won't say things if they're not true. If you do see Aidan Bradley live, Siege is very awesome.
Thank
live.
You. It was really great how I got pretty much all of Milk Factory to sing along with me to it.
Cool.
Which was really cool. I love that. I love getting the audience involved and stuff like that.
I hear you recorded a music video recently at the Milk Factory.
I did. So the music video is for Siege, like the studio version of Siege.
Mm-hmm.
And it's footage from like all of the gigs I've done over the past year. A little bit of footage of me making the song and then just like sort of some candid stuff from like interviews and stuff like that.
Nice.
And that's all cut together as like it kind of shows the progression of myself as an artist over the 12 months. And that I had a lot of fun putting that together because I got to go back and revisit a lot of old stuff that I've done. And there's like clips of me playing in empty rooms and there's clips of like being a dozen people down from selling out Milk Factory.
Right.
And stuff like that. And that was really cool to see.
Cool. So you can go check it out.
Yes. It will be out by the time you hear this.
Yes.
So will the EP.
Yes, the EP will be out tonight, technically.
Yeah, if this comes out on the 9th.
Yep.
9th of March.
9th of March.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
It's out tonight. What are you doing here? Fucking get to the gig. Where is the gig?
The gig will be at the back room in Chardon's Corner.
Chardon's Corner. What time? When are you playing?
I don't know yet. I don't think the set lists have been nutted out yet. Because there's 10 bands on the lineup.
Ooh.
So it's like 10 bands playing half hour sets. So it's like a really full sort of, we've got to fit all that into, I think, like 5 hours. So it's like rush. But yeah, it'll be a really good night. It's sort of like music all day. It's like music starting in the early afternoon and then finishes at like 11.
Oh, nice.
That's exciting.
So hopefully it'll be good to meet all the other bands and stuff like that.
Hopefully I can make it because I'm also playing a gig. I'm not going to plug my gig during your plug.
Go ahead. plug all day,
every day. Just in case you're like, the fuck, why isn't Alex here? It's like, I'm not here. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I feel there's got to be another thing to say, surely.
In what regard?
I mean,
about the song.
About the song.
Oh, right? I see.
The song specifically, or do you like? What do you?
I mean, that's the whole gimmick of the show, isn't it?
Is that we're looking at
talking about the song?
Well, if you were going to do this song today,
oh yes,
right. If you were going to do Blue Shift Redux, what would you do? What would you do differently?
How would you fix it?
Yeah,
reverb. Using what you know now.
Reverb.
No, I'd.
Double track.
Like that one to design. I would probably scrap the verses. And
really?
I'd probably scrap the verses or at least make them progress a little bit more. I'd like...
Scrap and rewrite? Because there's not much verse to begin with.
Yeah, which is why I'd rewrite.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
I think you're like, just cut the verses.
I just want that riff
for 6 minutes. I would... Yeah, if I was going to go back and do that again... I definitely changed the arrangement to just more than guitar and drums. I could think of a few cool things to do with it, but I think for the most part, it's kind of the best version of itself that it can be. Like, yeah. There's stuff from like a technical aspect that I'd improve. Like, I can sing a lot better now, and I know a lot more about production. So it would probably just be like a more polished version. Like, I feel the song was written with that instrumentation. I think that's kind of how it works best.
Yeah. It has heaps of character.
Thank you.
It's definitely what it is, and I like what it is. It's grungy. Wow, you know when you start a podcast and you realize that you're not good at articulating? You're like, wow, shit, picked the wrong avenue for this. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I like what it is.
It certainly is what it is.
To be like, as a band, that was kind of the reputation that we built, you know? It was like, it's not good, but it's loud and it's cool, and you can stand up the front and you can headbang.
Yeah,
and,
cool.
And it's... The people on stage were very much just two guys who fucking started playing music together one day.
It doesn't sound like two guys.
Yeah.
It sounds like a full band, which is very impressive.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's well produced, yeah. And yeah, I think like there's definitely a niche, or not a niche, but like there's a crowd for that just sort of very headbangy, very just loud style of music. And I think for what that song is, yeah, it hits all those kind of marks. That's really good. And you mentioned that when you released it, you were proud of it.
I was, yeah.
I think you should still be proud of it. I think you could release that today without very many changes, and it would be a banger.
Mm. A banger, you say?
It would continue to be a banger.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. That's what we're all about here at My Song Suck.
That's right.
Just it's funny enough, not tearing down.
There is a track on that record that is being re-released on the EP.
Ooh, oh, really?
It's called Infirmary.
Okay.
And I always had a lot of like really grandeur sort of ideas for it, but being a two-piece, it just wasn't on the cards.
Mm.
It's like kind of like the 11 moment on the record is like the bridge on that where everything kicks up and there's like a orchestra and
nice.
These really heavy like industrial beats and these fuzzed up guitars and stuff. And
cool.
So that's like it's like the 11 moment on the record.
Mm.
It's the fourth out of fifth song.
Okay.
And if you've seen my Alex has and you have seen me live.
Yes.
So it's the last song that I play.
Right.
When I leave the looper recording and I just like thrash my guitar.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It builds up and it gets really chaotic and really crazy. And then it all cuts out and then I play Coffee Shops, which is like the most low-key song that I have.
Hmm.
So it's like this really dissonant, and that's the same track flow that is on the EP.
Cool.
So Infirmary happens and then Coffee Shops happens straight after as like an epilogue.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So the version of Infirmary on Boat Ramps is like from like a composition perspective, probably the best I've done.
Okay.
Just because there's so much shit going on, but it all sort of works together quite harmoniously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then like on Blue Shift, it's just like two guitar tracks, a drum track, and then singing.
Mm.
But like on Boat Ramps, there's like vocal harmonies. There's a bunch of different guitar tracks. There's a bunch of different percussion tracks, and there's like industrial percussion and strings and all this cool stuff. Because it's just complete, like weapons-free, big, huge thing that I wanted to do. And that's like always what I imagined for that song, but I never really had the band or like the sort of production or composition know how to do it.
Mm.
So yeah.
Well, it sounds like it'll be a very good kind of like theatrical moment with a good, beautiful contrast, which is always wonderful.
Yeah, mm. That's what I was going for. Because I think track list is really important with records.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the way that the songs flow one to the next is a good one. And it was interesting because I was talking to some people and I was doing some research about that. And it's like, oh, you should always start and finish with a high energy song. And I thought, well, that's fucking great because I've only got two of those. I didn't take that advice,
yeah.
By the way.
I heard from a producer that... I'll go with it. Fuck it. I heard from a producer that you should try and plan an album as if you're making love.
Okay.
And you're going to start out all exciting, and then you start to get a little bit serious in the middle, and then it all builds up to a big exciting thing, and then like you kind of kiss and cuddle at the end of it. And that's a thing that a human told me.
I mean, that's fair. I could see how that works.
Yeah, and like it works is the thing. I'm just sharing the tidbits.
Sharing the tidbits.
I didn't birth this idea.
That's fair.
I'm just bringing it to the people.
We won't hold it against you.
Thank you. but okay, so if you had any advice to give yourself in the past, knowing what you know now, or any for our purposes, any listening songwriter, what is your nugget of wisdom that you would pass on to anyone listening, but specifically yourself, because we'll keep it interesting.
Mm.
What do you feel like you needed to learn?
Can I divide that into two categories?
No!
Yes, you can. Okay. So one, to myself, spend more time.
Spend more time?
Spend more time.
As in like tweaking or just...
Yeah, as in like spend more time and don't be afraid to scrap ideas.
Yes.
Good. Because just because it's the first thing you thought of doesn't mean it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, but like do some other stuff and then come back to it and then see if there's other stuff that you might like more. To aspiring songwriters, I would say, that also implies that I'm successful, by the way, which the jury's still out on that one. So to aspiring songwriters, I would say never be afraid to write or perform shit.
Yeah.
Like never, like if you have a bad gig, that's fine. Everybody has bad gigs.
Yeah.
If you write a song and it doesn't do well, that's also fine. Not everything is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
That's to no means say that you have to let that define your abilities. I remember playing bad shows. I remember playing shows where the audience heckled me or where...
Really?
Yeah, cool. It happens to everyone.
Wow.
Heckling is just it's a part of playing live. You been at shows where we've been heckled, threatened, weird shit's happening. Maybe no one was listening. Maybe no one came.
Yeah.
And it's not a reflection of you as an artist, and it's not any kind of sign that you should give up. And I would say take breaks. For a while, I took a semester off uni and I was playing 3-4 gigs a week for a while. And I got to the end of it and I had no money. No one knew who I was. And just music wasn't where I wanted it to be. Mm. And I was tired all of the time. I'd spent so much money on trying to just get music stuff done and trying to get there and play gigs and stuff like that. And I got to the end of it. I was completely miserable. I like fucking broke down and started crying. It fucking sucked. And then I took a shower and then I went on Facebook and I saw that like my friends list was like twice the size that it was 6 months before then. Mm. And they're all musicians and or some kind of industry professional or some kind of press agency. Even when you think that you're not moving forward, you're moving forward.
Yeah.
It's always giving yourself enough of a break to be able to look back and be like, oh, I've actually done some cool shit.
Yeah.
And then letting that inspire you further. I always get caught in this forest for the trees situation where I was always like, oh, other people my age are doing better than me. That means I must be doing bad.
No,
and then I met someone who did the same thing with me. I met someone who was like, oh, you're always doing so much better than me. And I was like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We get so caught up in the idea of making it that I think that we sort of just... We can build a lot of resentment for ourselves, and I think that's very unhealthy. And I think nothing kills your productivity more than starting something already thinking you're a failure.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice. And especially since we threw that the fuck at you instantly, we didn't say that we were going to ask you for advice. I think that's really good advice.
No, thank you. It's a thing that I think about a lot. For some reason, people ask me a lot about that. Like after gigs, everyone's always like, how do you get into this stuff? How do you like do it? And it's always like the same thing. It's like, you need to start somewhere because the sooner you start and the sooner you get past all of the shit that you're going to make is the sooner you can start making stuff that you look back on and be like, oh, hey, that's actually pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah. That's what this whole podcast is about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Well, you have set the standard for all our future guests.
Certainly.
You've broken
what about the
down...
one before me?
Oh, well, we don't talk about them.
Okay.
No, you've broken this podcast down to its barest bones and gotten to the heart of it, so I think you've done an incredible job.
Cool, thank you.
And this has been Aiden Bradley.
Aiden Bradley, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you want to do your social media plug?
Oh, yeah.
You got to do it.
Hit me up on Facebook, Aiden Bradley, Instagram also, and Twitter. My Boat Ramps EP, which is my debut EP, comes out today. So March 9th, it'll be on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Google Play, Bandcamp, just about everywhere. Hit up my YouTube as well. I have a music video out and there's a couple lyric videos coming out for a couple of the songs on Boat Ramps. So cool.
Awesome. And you shared with us Blue Shift, which is the song that you believed sucked. But we're going to play a song that you don't believe sucks, which is...
This is Siege.
This is Siege,
which is the first track on my Boat Ramps EP.
Awesome. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Thanks.
See you
later.
Thank you so much for having me. I write songs about games. They're nothing like the ones you're playing, girl. I'll tell you all about my fame. It's a little bit late. I am under siege. Can you rescue me? I am under siege. Can you rescue me? Another Saturday night. Staying in to write again. Sad I don't go out. I think it's sad that's all you think to do. I am under siege. Can you rescue me? I am under siege. Can you
me. I am under siege. Can you rescue me? I am under siege. Can you rescue me?